Please turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the Gospel according to Luke. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 5, and reading verses 12 and 13. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. And it came to pass, when he, the Lord Jesus Christ, was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And our subject this morning is the Lord is willing to save. The Lord is willing to save all those who come to him in the right way. Well, this is, of course, a tremendous healing miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ, the healing of a man with leprosy. And just as always, to put this in some context, This miracle takes place, towards the very beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not long after the Lord has been baptized by John the Baptist, marking the very beginning of his ministry. And then what happened immediately after his baptism, as many of you know, he was led of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. He was tempted of the devil. But then after that, of course, he overcame all the temptations of the devil. But after that, he went to Nazareth. The previous chapter, chapter 5, testifies of this. He goes to the synagogue. And before all the people present in the synagogue, he takes the book of the prophet Isaiah and reads out a prophecy of Isaiah that refers to the Messiah. And well, we won't go through the whole account. But he reads how the Spirit of the Lord is upon the Messiah, and how the Messiah, when he comes, will be anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. And then before all the people, he says, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. In other words, the very Messiah whom Isaiah speaks of, it is me. This scripture is fulfilled. I am the one, the long-looked-for Messiah, the Son of God, the anointed of the Almighty, the very Christ himself. And of course, we know and understand this. Christ is God, Christ is divine, equal with the Father, so important. I spoke to a Jehovah's Witness just yesterday, and he had such a problem with the divinity of Christ and Christ being equal with God. But the scriptures testify of this. I don't want to go on a tangent, but you look at so many chapters, John chapter 5, for example, and you will read that even those who heard the Lord Jesus Christ, when Christ said, I am the Son of God, why did the Jews want to stone him? Because they knew that when he said, I am the Son of God, he is making himself equal with God. The Lord Jesus Christ is equal with God. Everybody knew what he meant when he used that title, but I don't want to go off on a tangent. But well, this is at the beginning of the Lord's ministry, as I've mentioned. At the beginning of this chapter, we read it. He is calling his disciples to himself, Simon Peter and the brothers James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who are fishermen. And remember those words we read earlier. He says to Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. They were previously fishermen, but now they'll be used of the Lord to gather in men and women into the kingdom of Almighty God. So the Lord, well, he's gathering the disciples to himself, and of course, he begins his healing ministry, healing all those who will come to him. And this verse that we will consider, these two verses, explains his encounter with a man full of leprosy, a leprous man. Well, we've spoken before very much about leprosy, but just to remind you, leprosy is mentioned so much in the scriptures, a total of 68 times, because it seemed to be very common in those days. It may have referred to a variety of skin diseases, but generally, when somebody had leprosy, there were some common characteristics. It would usually start, almost unnoticeable in the skin and affecting the nervous system, but after time, then it would spread to other parts of the body, to the hands and to the feet, and it would cause great deformity. The nose would collapse, the fingers of the hands would become claw-like in appearance, and of course the skin would lose all sensation. A leper would be disfigured and would be, repellent to society. They would be alienated from the society in which they lived. They would have to wear special clothes, marking them out as lepers. They would have to wear bells so as to warn people that a leper was in the area. And if anybody came too close to somebody who was a leper, the leper was obliged to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," so as to warn people, "I am a leper, I am unclean, so don't come too close." He had to declare his uncleanness because he was so diseased and so deformed. And so you can understand the leper coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, and his great plea is, "Make me clean." He sees Jesus, he falls on his face, and he besought him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." That's his great need, a great, tremendous need to be made clean. And even just by way of introduction, when we consider these things, we learn valuable lessons about how to approach the Lord spiritually, not for physical healing, but for spiritual healing. How do we approach Christ? First of all, we have to approach him with a great sense of need. A great sense of need. Now, I have to say this at the start, because so many people, increasing numbers, I hope there's not too many people here who are like this, but they never feel their great sense of need. They think that the Christian faith, it's just some sort of hobby. It's just some sort of pastime or a tradition or something along those lines. The Christian faith, coming to church, it's just a nice thing to do. A nice thing to do on a Sunday. You hear some nice words, you hear some nice preaching, you sing some nice hymns. But they never feel their need, their great sense of need of Christ. Each and every one of us needs Christ. It's not a hobby or a tradition. We have a tremendous need. Somebody who is earnestly seeking after God, they don't just think to themselves, "Wouldn't it be nice to know God? I'd quite enjoy that." No, they don't think like that. They think, "I need God. I need God more than anything else. I need Christ. And so I must be here in the Lord's house above all things, because I need him over and above anything else that I could ever need." This is the way we approach God and the Christian faith and the Lord Jesus Christ, with a great sense of need. We need this gospel. Why do we need the gospel? People will ask. Because we too, like this leper, we are sick. We are sick. Not physically sick, as this leper was, but spiritually sick. And I've made this application many times before. We have a great sickness, the sickness of sin, a spiritual sickness. We are born with it. That's what the scripture says. We are born sinners. And we spoke about this last week. But this illness of sin, well, this illness makes us unclean. In the sight of God, when God looks upon a sinner, he sees that person as unclean. An unclean person. And this is very serious for us. If we are still in our sin, if we are still unclean, because we know that this life is not the only life. We have to come to the end of our life. And there will be a judgment. And God is a holy God. A holy God who dwells in a holy place, a clean place. When we think of heaven, it's a clean place. It has to be perfectly holy. Well, if we are sinners, if we are unclean in the sight of God, we're never going to get in. We're never going to get into that holy place. We will be banished. We will be sent away, and rightly so, because we are unclean. Because we are as lepers in the sight of God. And so this is the reason behind our great need. Do we begin to feel our great need of the Lord Jesus Christ? This is no tradition or hobby or vain and empty religion. We are unclean in the sight of God, and we need to be made clean. How are we made clean? These things are so important. I know you know them. But how are we made clean? Could you answer that question if somebody asked you? How is a Christian made clean in the sight of God? Well, of course, it's through Christ. It's through what he has done on Calvary's cross, not through his physical healings. The physical healings of Christ did not make a sinner clean. It was what he did on the cross at Calvary. That's what makes sinners clean. He suffered in our place. He took the punishment for our sin upon himself. He shed his blood. It is his blood that makes us clean. We are washed, as it were, in his blood. There is a tremendous hymn by William Cowper, as some people say. I think that's the right way to say it. But he defined this wonderfully well. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. All our sins are washed away by that fountain of blood, Christ's blood shed so freely for us. It washes all our sin away. This is why we always emphasize the cross. If you want to go to heaven, if you want and desire eternal life, the cross is where you start. That's where he shed his blood. And that's where we are washed of all our foul and guilty sins. So do you know that cleansing, dear friends? We have to ask ourselves, do we know that cleansing? Are we healed? Have you ever confessed your sin to God? Have you ever really confessed? You will never know the healing of the Lord Jesus Christ unless you've actually confessed your sin to God. That is obvious. You cannot be healed if you do not confess and admit that you are a sinner. And again, I have to say this because so many people never confess their sin. They think they're too good. I'm not that bad a sinner, so I don't really have to confess my sin to God. But then if you don't confess, you'll never be healed. It's like going to a doctor. If you have an illness, you go to a doctor. You want that doctor to heal you and to treat you. Well, if he is to be able to treat you, you have to tell him what's wrong with you. You have to tell him what the problem is, and then he can heal you. Well, if you want to be healed of God, if you want to know that true healing, you have to tell God what's wrong with you. You have to examine yourself. You have to confess your sin. And then you'll know the healing of God. You'll never know it if you don't confess your sin before the Lord. You must confess your sin. Confess your depravity. And well, we are totally depraved. This man, we read, was a man full of leprosy. Not just sort of, not just a little bit, but this was a man who was full of leprosy. And may I suggest to you, this is such an accurate description of our spiritual state before God. We are full of sin. Let nobody think, oh, I'm sort of all right. I'm not really that bad. We're all, every single one of us, we're full of sin. Have you ever counted your sins? The sins that you commit each and every day. I challenge you, in the days of this coming week, count your sins. Look at the Ten Commandments and weigh yourself up. Measure yourself up to them. Think of all the times you lie. Each and every one of us is full of lies, full of lying. We lie without even realizing it. We go to job interviews and people ask us things about our qualifications, about our talents. So often we lie. We exaggerate. We tell half-truths. We think it's all right to lie. And yet it's breaking the commandment of God. And you think about all the other times. Oh, I'll just say this just to get me out of a difficult situation. Just tell her that to get you off the hook. We lie so much. We're full of lies. Think of all the times that you've hated somebody, had hateful thoughts, and spoken badly about somebody. Again, this is a breaking of the commandment of God. And well, we think of those commandments that are toward God, putting God first in all things, honoring the Lord's Day. We could speak about that. How many times have you not honored the Lord's Day? A day when you could have come to church, but you thought, oh no, I won't bother. There's something far better going on down the park. There's something I need to watch on TV. How many times have you done it? You're full of sin, full of leprosy, full of sin. So how much we need the healing and the salvation of the Lord our God. This man, he was so aware of his desperate state before God. Behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face. This is urgent, you see, and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, it's very important to note how he makes his request of God. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If thou wilt. In other words, this leper is saying, if I am to be healed, if I am to be saved, it must be all your work. I can do nothing. I cannot heal myself. I cannot contribute anything to my healing, to my salvation. If I am to be healed, it must be all your work. And this is still very true. You know, our salvation, the salvation of any one of us, has nothing to do with us, with our will. It has everything to do with God's will. It's God's will that saves us. All men, every single one who is born into this world, we are so sinful, we are so depraved, we are so rebellious, we're so full of sin, that nobody would come to God unless God works in them first. This is made very clear by these words. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You have to work in me. This is a very deep and profound point, but so important. This is why John, in the Gospel of John, he describes those who are converted, those who are born again. Listen to how he describes them. Those who are healed and saved, they're born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Not of man's will. Man would never come to God, but it's God's will. God works first. I hope you understand that, because this can help people, you know. I used to look at Christians, people who were came to church, people who seemed to love God. And I used to think to myself, oh, those Christians, they're Christians, well, because they're nice people, because they're moral people, because they're spiritual people. I'm not like that. You see, there's something good in these people that makes them Christian. But I'm not like that. I could never be like that. But I was dead wrong. I was very wrong. You see, anybody who's a Christian, well, they were once like everybody else. They were sinners, dead in their sins, heading for a lost eternity and not caring about it at all until God worked first in their hearts. God did all the work. And then when I realized that, well, then I thought to myself, well, then I can come too. If it's God's work, well, anybody can come, no matter how sinful they are, no matter how depraved, no matter how unspiritual. If it's God who does the work, there's no reason why I can't come and make my plea to the Lord, Lord, save me. And he will. This is such a vital teaching. Lord, save me. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Anybody who is lost, anybody who does not know the Lord, just ask. Ask God, and he will. How do I know if I ask God that he will, that he won't reject me? Oh, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You make your plea to God in the right way, recognizing that you are full of sin, recognizing your great need, recognizing that Christ is the only way to God. He will most certainly heal you. He will not turn you away. This is the message of these tremendous words. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Well, let us look towards the conclusion of this miracle. And immediately at the end of verse 13, the leprosy departed from him. And he, the Lord Jesus Christ, charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. Well, this leper, he has been healed. But the Lord Jesus Christ says that there are things he must do. He must go and give an offering to the Lord. He must go and show himself to the priest. Why does he have to show himself to the priest? Well, this, according to the law of Moses, if a leper was ever healed, well, then he would have to go to the priest, and it would be the priest who would confirm and testify that this man is now clean. The leper couldn't go and declare himself clean. He had to go to the priest. And the priest would examine him. Is this a genuine healing? Is he sincerely clean of his leprosy? And once he knew that he was, then he would give that testimony. This man is clean. He can now be readmitted into the life of the community, into the life of the nation. He can start his life again. He's born again, as it were. This is the testimony I give of this man. That is why the Lord commanded him in such a way. And again, we can apply it to spiritual things. Anybody who is healed of God has to have a testimony. A testimony to show us that it is a genuine healing, a genuine and sincere conversion. And this is what the testimony is meant to say. Once I was unclean, once I was sick in my sin, but now I've been healed. I know that Christ has died for me. I know he shed his blood. And now I know that I will be accepted of God. Now I know that I will be able to enter into heaven. Every single person who is saved has a testimony. and shows that their conversion is true and real. And well, we pray that every single one of us will have this testimony, and that they continue obeying the word of God. Now their lives are offerings to God. Now their praise and their talents and their energy is spent only for Him. This is what it means to truly be saved. But dear friends, we must remember these words. All it takes is a request. Doesn't matter how far you feel from God. Doesn't matter how unspiritual you feel. If you say to God, Lord, I can do nothing. Do all the work in me. Make me a Christian. Lead me to repentance. Lead me to new life. Turn my heart into a heart of love for thee. Then He will do it. He will do it. And you will be eternally saved. Well, may the Lord bless us and help us as we consider these things. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, we thank Thee for the teaching of Thy word. We thank Thee that Thou art the God who is willing to save. Lord, if only we would come to Thee and ask for help and for blessing, and know that it is only through Thy work and through Thy will that we are saved. O Lord, bless us and help us, that each and every one of us may come with that great sense of need and know the salvation of the Lord. Lord, we ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for His sake. Amen.